plunged, drenched, soaked, marinated in the water. Okay, it kind of begins coming out of all your pockets of your clothes and you have to waddle off to the toilet to go whatever. That's what the word baptize means. It means to plunge, to immerse, to soak, to drench. Jesus is then saying, right, I'm going to drench you, plunge you, submerge you, marinate you in the presence of God. That's what you're going to receive. Just as you were baptized in water, you'll be plunged into divine power. That's his promise. That's what he says. So he says, wait. It's interesting. Jesus was raised from the dead. Imagine you were one of his disciples and you'd seen Jesus raised from the dead. You're like, wow, he's alive, he's alive. You're like, let's go tell everybody. And Jesus says, whoa, hold your horses. Not yet. Seeing that I'm alive and risen from the dead is not enough. It's interesting. You need something else, says Jesus. It's not enough just to know that I'm alive. You must receive power. You must receive power. Wait! And that's what he says. And then in Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what happened. So again, if we go to Acts chapter 2, you'll see this behind me. This is the day of Pentecost. That's 50 days after the Passover. We'll read this together. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. That's Jesus' disciples. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, so it's noisy, at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered. Because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language, but others mocking said, oh, they've had too much wine. 9 o'clock in the morning. These people are drunk. So here you've got these disciples. They're probably maybe in the temple. They're sitting together. They're praying. And the Holy Spirit, in quite a dramatic way, comes and falls upon them. I don't think seeing active tongues of fire is the kind of norm. This was the first time that God poured out his Spirit. But they begin to speak in languages they'd not learned. Other people understand them. It's amazing. Their heartfelt prayer and worship to God is released and they're making such a racket that people are going, what on earth is going on over here? And a massive, not just a small crowd, thousands gather. And they say, what is going on here? You look drunk. Peter stands up and he says, ha-ha, we're not drunk, as you suppose. He's very clear-headed. And he preaches this extraordinary sermon you can see through Acts chapter 2 about who Jesus is, about how God is pouring out right now his promise, the promise of the Father. It's come. It's now. Here we go. 3,000 are cut to the heart. Then the church launches. It's glorious. Why? Because God pours out the promised Holy Spirit. Move forward a couple of chapters. Acts chapter 4. They're now full of the Spirit. They're excited. They begin telling other people about Jesus. They pray for people and people are healed in Jesus' name. Wow. And then two of them get arrested and told by the authorities, right, you must not preach in this name anymore. You will not do it. If you do, we'll have you. Okay? And they release them. What do? Go back to the other disciples and they say, we got in trouble. Let's do it again. And so they pray and they say this, now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they'd prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. This is a lot of the same people who were filled with the Spirit two chapters before. And here you go again. They're praying, they're longing. What does God do? He fills them again. And they go forth and do the very things that they've been praying for. Speaking God's word boldly, stretching out their hands to heal. Receiving the Spirit is not a one-time deal. It's not just at the start, Joanne. It's not like, oh, I remember when I was filled with the Spirit. Or, oh, yeah, I became a Christian. And I think probably the Holy Spirit must have been involved in that. So, yeah, there you go. Here you see disciples who are absolutely insatiable. They want to have more of God. And so God meets that prayer and pours out power upon them. I remember when I was younger, it's 20 years ago in this church, sometimes there'd be a talk like this. And I'd be sat down listening. And I'd go, oh, I think I'm doing it right. I'm doing okay with my walk with God, that's fine. They'll probably do a response at the end. And I don't think I really need to respond. And one of the things I've learned over time is the older I get, the more I realize how much I need God. And if I'm doing well, what do I need? I need more of God. If I'm doing badly, what do I need? I need more of God. If I feel far from him at the moment, what do I need? I need more of God. I think you realize that, maybe just me, the older I get. But the reality is this is not a one-time deal. This is, you can come constantly to receive, to receive, to receive. And it keeps you empowered because that's Jesus' intention for us. Let's flick forward again a few chapters. This is now Acts chapter 9. And the church has continued to receive opposition. And one of the biggest opponents of the church is a chap called Saul. And he doesn't like the church very much. He keeps arresting people and bunging them in prison. And one day he's traveling to one of the other cities from Jerusalem, a place called Damascus. And while he's traveling there, Jesus appears to him. Jesus by now has returned to heaven, but he appears to him in this, on the road. He's blinding light. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Ah! This sort of thing. He's blinded, but he's met Jesus. And he continues with some help, traveling on to the town of Damascus. And while he's there, God speaks to a chap that we never hear of before or after, called Ananias. And he says, oh, Ananias, in a dream, Saul has met with me on the road. I'd like you to go and pray for him, please. Now, Ananias is a little unsure about this, because this is the great persecutor of the church. I want you to imagine for a minute that tomorrow, that overnight tonight, God meets you in a dream and says, Derek, Ian, Ruth, whatever, I want you to go to Russia and pray for Vladimir Putin because I'm going to meet with him in a dream. You might go, ooh. If you were Ukrainian and you were having that dream, you might feel even more, oh my word, what are you talking about? This guy's trying to kill us. It's that sort of level. And Ananias obeys, trembling. And he does. And this is what he says to him in verse 17 of Acts chapter 9. Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, amazing, brother, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which he sent me, by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? This guy, Saul, goes on to become the Apostle Paul, the great writer of so much in the New Testament. Who is it that lays his hands on him and prays for him? A nobody called Ananias. Ordinary, normal Christianity is laying our hands on people that they might receive of the Spirit. You don't need some anointed person, the anointed, great anointed leader. Well, if they pray for me, maybe I'll receive. You need an Ananias. You just need someone who's obedient and faithful. And what Ananias does is he lays hands on this person. And this whole thing can be a bit weird if it's not something you're familiar with. So Dan, can I borrow you? So Dan, can I borrow you? Imagine that Dan's responding. And imagine Dan's Saul. I'm Ananias. Okay, and we'd see this sort of thing, don't we? We pray for each other. You know, there are lots of ways of laying on hands which are enormously unhelpful. In the name of Jesus, receive. Like there's something, you're pushing somebody over. It's so unhelpful. This sort of thing. Actually, when someone prays hands on, there's something mysterious. We don't understand it about laying on of hands. But it doesn't have to be like all this. You just, in the name of Jesus, receive. When I pray for someone to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a great prayer you can pray. It's three words long. It's really, really holy. It's come, Holy Spirit. And then you can pray more. Okay, really godly, really whatever words. But you don't have to kind of mess around. If I'm praying for someone, I go, is it all right if I put my hand on your shoulder? Something like that. I might sometimes encourage them to kind of adapt a posture. Dan's here looking a bit uncomfortable because I've made him come to the front. Actually, sometimes when we receive from God, we just go, actually, God, I want to open my heart to you. That's often why people open their hands. It's not because it's magic. It's just it's posturing yourself before God to say, I want to receive. Thanks, Dan. That's really good. Sorry to make you uncomfortable. So you can pray if you're, but you have to be full of the Spirit to pray for someone to be full of the Spirit. It's no point a dry well praying for another dry well to receive. It doesn't really work. You receive and then you give. That makes sense. I receive and I give. That's how it works. Acts 10, next chapter. We switch who we're following. We now follow Peter, another one of Jesus' disciples. He has a vision. to go and see a Roman centurion in his household and go and tell them about Jesus. And so he does. And this is what happens. He's preaching to them about who Jesus is. It says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all. We keep hearing the word all, don't we? All who heard the word. And the believers from the circumcised, that's the Jews, who had come with Peter, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, the non-Jews. For they were hearing about, them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who've received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them now to all be baptized in the name of Jesus. So these people are filled with the Spirit before they're baptized in water. Basically, the same moment that they believe, God kind of goes, and pours out the Spirit upon them, on all of them. It's amazing. And again, it's noisy. There are tongues and worship and praise and all these sorts of things. Tongues is a bit of a weird word. You don't ever usually use that word in language. We think of a tongue as that thing. It's like, oh, I was speaking in a tongue today. I think it's easier to think of it as the gift of languages. God gives you a new language to help you to worship him and pray. That's all it is. Calling it tongues can be a bit weird. It's interesting, though, that it says here, they spoke in tongues. I think sometimes people think tongues is a bit like God using you like a puppet. He puts his divine hand up your back and wah, 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 this sort of thing. They spoke in tongues. You are in control of your tongue. I am currently speaking in English. If I want to, I can speak in tongues. It's my choice because it's a gift I've received. I can choose to use it. It means that if you want to speak in tongues and you're thinking, I want to receive this gift, but or whatever, you can't just stand there and go, I'm waiting, Lord. Give me the tongue. You have to open your mouth. You have to move your tongue. Just like now I'm speaking words, I'm moving my tongue. But you have to use your tongue like Peter did when he walked on the water, going, right, I'm not used to using my feet to walk on water, but let's give it a whirl. Oh my word, I'm standing on the water. Speaking in tongues is the same. You have to go, I'm going to use my tongue now to speak in a language I haven't learned. It's a step of faith. And that's what happens. God rushes to meet us when he does that. Last bit that we'll look at in the book of Acts chapter 19. Saul has now become Paul, the great apostle. And he's gone around starting churches, telling people about Jesus. And he meets a group of disciples in a city called Ephesus in Turkey. And this is what happens. Is Paul came to Ephesus and there he found some disciples. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I always think that's a strange question if it's automatic. It's like, did your car come with a steering wheel and a seat? Of course, but he's not assuming that they did. He's saying, well, let's just check you out. And they say, no, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. So they are uneducated Emmas. And he said, into what then were you baptized? Into John's baptism. He says, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who's coming after him. That's Jesus. And so we're hearing this, right? They now believe. They're now baptized into the name of Jesus. Now, this is like a controversial passage because people think, well, were these people disciples of Jesus? Were they not? We're not quite sure. By the end of verse 5, they clearly are. They've now believed. They've now been baptized in water. What does Paul do? Verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. So there seems to be this biblical norm as when you've believed, when you've come to Jesus, there's an expectation that actually someone will pray for you and you will receive. Rather than just like, oh, great, you've given your life to Jesus. Hallelujah, you've been baptized in the Spirit. No, Paul, I'm going to go and lay my hands. There's something I need to do. I need to impart something because that seems to be how this works. So what do we learn? Here's the key points. This slide would look really nice if the screen was not washed out in color. Okay. What do we learn about the coming upon of the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, I'd say it's not automatic. It doesn't just like, I'm a Christian, therefore I've been baptized in the Spirit. It doesn't seem to work like that. There seems to be something that happens once you've put your trust in Jesus. But there's no magic formula. It's not like, well, if I follow steps A, B, and C, then the Holy Spirit will come. Some people receive while during a preach. Some people are praying. Some people have hands laid upon them. You know, there's no magic formula. The Holy Spirit is like wind. He blows wherever he wants. It's wonderful. But it's also not a one-off experience. It's not like, oh, I received the Holy Spirit in 1996. Hallelujah. You can keep receiving, keep receiving, keep receiving. This is something that is for all believers, but you need to be a believer. That's the passage that Ethan read out just there. It says, you must be born again. If you want to receive this power, you need to first come to Jesus, who is wonderful, who will forgive your sin, make your life new, and then give you power to live it. When you receive the Spirit, something tangible seems to take place. For different people, it's different sorts of things. I know when Becky was filled with the Spirit for the first time, her result was she burst into tears. That seems to be what happens for her when God draws near to her. But there's something evidence that comes. Often it seems to be something that comes out of your mouth. Sometimes it's praise. Sometimes it's speaking in this new language. Often it's boldness. And we'll look at that later in this series. But something seems to switch and change. It's not just, oh, I had a nice experience. That was nice. But something mobilizes in your life as a result. But the reality is also is as you receive, you can give. You don't need some magic person to pray for you or special person, because each of us can pray and help other people to receive. But the reality is we don't come to a special minister at the front, but we do come in order to receive to one very special person. Because that's what this says in the next bit of this verse. It says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Who's that? Who's he? Jesus is always the answer in church, isn't he? But he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. A few weeks before Jesus died, this is something that he did at one of the major Jewish festivals. If you can put this up, Alex, this is John chapter 7. I won't give you the full context of this, but big Jewish feast. Priests usually pour out water symbolically to do with thirst and God meeting with people. On the last and greatest day of the festival, loads of people are there. Jesus stood and in a loud voice said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. He wanted everybody to hear. Anyone who's thirsty, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And then John sort of does a little parenthesis to explain. He says, by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That's what we've been reading about. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So if on that day you'd heard Jesus say this big voice, go, I want that, and you'd gone to Jesus and said, yeah, give me this. He'd gone, not yet. Can't give you that yet. I haven't been glorified yet. There's some difficult days coming. But once I have, then anyone who's thirsty can come to me and drink. Jesus has been glorified. He sits in the highest place. He is the name above all names. He loves to pour out the presence of God on his people. There's no need to wait anymore. Not quite yet. Go back. What's the qualification for receiving? Let's have a look at that. What's the qualification to receive? Being thirsty. That seems to be it. Not if anyone is holy, if anyone's like done really well this week, if anyone's really close to God, it's thirst. That's why we started with the story. If anyone is thirsty, if you're not thirsty, you don't drink, do you? You might, it's probably good for me. But if you're thirsty, you drink. If anyone, Mark's doing that right now. If anyone is thirsty, if anyone who is thirsty, someone who believes in Jesus, if they're thirsty, they come to Jesus, what will he give to them? He will pour out and give the promised Holy Spirit. And the result is a trickle of living water. It's not rivers of living water from within you. It's like Jesus puts not just a bit, he doesn't just give you a drink, he gives you the well in your heart, which you can keep dipping into again and again and again to receive and refresh others as well. But Jesus says, come to me and drink. It's really simple. That's why when we're praying for people, we just say, actually, first of all, come to Jesus. Jesus, I come to you. I want to drink. Please, would you fill me? I usually get people, if I'm going to pray for them, to pray out of their mouth first. Because if they won't pray in English out loud, it's unlikely they'll speak in tongues out loud. You need to get used to hearing your own voice praying out loud. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And the final thing then is this. What's the final word? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I wonder if this morning, do you feel uneducated? Maybe hopefully a bit more educated now. doubtful, self-conscious, just at the start, indifferent, just looking on like a spectator. Do you know what? I've been, to be honest, most of those people at some point in my life. I remember I became a Christian when I was at primary school. So I was a kid. My mum helped me make Jesus my best friend in the way that she kind of prayed for me. But as I grew up and as a teenager, I seriously lacked confidence and God's power. The idea of telling anybody that I was a Christian was utterly terrifying. So much so that sometimes my friends would come to the front door to play football with me, and I like my friends and I like football. I used to hide behind the sofa because I was so terrified that they might bring up something to do with matters of faith. I hid behind the sofa. The idea of doing this was a total, like, there's no way I could possibly ever imagine standing in front of a group or sitting in front of a group of people and speaking about faith. And when I was 17, I moved to a church that began to practice the sort of things we've been talking about today. And to be honest, when I was saw it for the first time, I was a bit skeptical and not a little bit afraid, because I saw people like praying prayed for, and they would laugh, fall over, they'd cry, they'd speak in these funny languages. And I was like, I am not doing that, not on your Nelly. That is just weird. But then my friends began to be prayed for, and something in their life changed. There was light in their eyes, and I was like, oh, hello. And so little by little, thirst began to grow in me. And I remember one particular Sunday kind of saying to God, I was just like, God, do you know what? I want whatever you've got for me, and if I look daft, I don't care. Because I just want what you've got for me. God, I'm thirsty. And so for the first time ever, like, and I'd been in church for 17, 18 years, someone did one of those responses where you say, come to the front and be prayed for. I had never, ever done it before. I was like, no way am I doing that. And I went. And I was like, God, I want to meet with you, Jesus, because I don't have any power and I don't want to tell anybody about you. But I need power. And I was thirsty. And someone came and prayed for me, and all I can describe it like was an atomic bomb went off in my soul. It was like an explosion of joy and love, which was extraordinary. And not doesn't happen to everybody, but I fell over. I laughed for half an hour. I found I was praising God, and this kind of found, man, tongues started coming out, and I was going, wow, flipping out. Why didn't I do this before? This is amazing. And my life changed from that moment onwards. Now, it doesn't mean that then every day I was bold about telling everyone to be filled up Jesus, because you kind of run dry sometimes and you make mistakes. But something about me in that moment changed. He will baptize you with the Spirit. If we don't drink, we struggle to run. It's that simple. This morning, he will baptize you or fill you again with the Spirit if you ask him. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song together, which we sometimes sing in these sorts of contexts, which is, we are thirsty for you to flood our lives. If you are thirsty, then pray it and say, we're thirsty. If you're thinking, I'm not sure if I'm thirsty, you could even pray, make me thirsty for you to flood my life. Whatever that it helps express what your heart is this morning towards Jesus in this matter, sing it. And then what we'll do is we'll pray for some people. Does that make sense? So Dan, if you could wander back. Shall we stand together? I'm going to move this back. Let's stand together. Let's pray as Dan gets going. It might be this morning that you are someone who knows that you've received and being filled with the Spirit before. Maybe you're doing really well. Let me encourage you this morning to ask him for more. Might be this morning that you know in the past you've received, but you are a bit dry at the moment for all sorts of different reasons. Maybe you feel a bit like when we were singing those songs earlier and the song words weren't coming up. And you're going, oh God, I feel out of touch. I feel like I can't sing the song of following you at the moment. Do you know what? He is here with open arms this morning saying, just come to me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Come. Come. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know if I've ever really received the Spirit in the way you're describing, but I'd love to. Well, we'll pray for you. And this morning, maybe you're here this morning, you think, all this stuff, Sounds great, but I don't know Jesus. This morning, Jesus is here and can forgive and give you a whole new life, starting right now. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning. I pray for myself. Lord, we're not the ones that pour out the Holy Spirit. You are. And so we humbly and boldly come to you and say, Lord, would you pour out your Spirit right now upon us, that we might be your witnesses, that we might draw closer to you. Make us thirsty, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do is just invite people to come to receive. So really simple, it's going to be a really simple instruction that I'll give in a minute. We're clearing a bit of space because hopefully there's some thirsty people out there. Everyone stays where they are. Well, we've probably got to do some other teaching. If you're this morning, you're thinking, God, I'm thirsty. I want to receive more from you. Wherever you stand, whichever one of those positions you were in, even at the start of the meeting, I'd like you to come over here in a minute on this side. If you're hearing what I'm talking about and thinking, do you know what? I'd love that, but I don't think I don't think I've ever received in the way that you're describing. I don't speak in tongues. I'd love to speak in tongues. It's a good gift. God loves to give good gifts to his children, but only if we want them. He'll give you a gift you don't want. Then I want to encourage you to stand more on this side, because it will just help us have an understanding so we can pray for you in an informed way. So if you're thinking, God, I just want more of you this morning, come stand over here. If you're thinking, I kind of want this maybe, and I'm not sure if I've ever received like this before, I want to, come onto this side. You're under no compulsion to respond in whatever way at all. As I said, hopefully through this series, wherever you've started, we'll develop more thirst. So Dan, can we just sing this chorus one more time? And as we sing this chorus, if you want to respond, then come forwards and we'll find a way of praying. If lots of people come, then we'll work out how we pray for each other. But let's just come this morning. Holy Spirit, we come to you. We want, Jesus, we want all that you've got for us, so that we can follow you and know you more. Remember we said there's no magic formula about how you do this. Okay, so what we're going to do to start with is if you've responded, I want to encourage you to lift your hands, kind of posture yourself, and just say out loud to Jesus what you want. Just speak to him and say, Jesus, this is what I'm looking for from you right now. Just say that to him out loud. Let's do that all together. In your own words, say it out to him. What are you looking for from him right now? Don't be worried about people around you. Say it out. Don't have to just whisper, speak it out. Lord, come, fill me with the Spirit. Lord, I want more of you today. Lord, give me more of you, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Lord, we know that you can come meet with us just by drawing near. Lord, we don't have to lay on hands, but we know you can, we can. Lord, I pray, come do more of what you're doing. I pray for Kath Hensel right now. God, would you do more right now? Come, Holy Spirit. Come more, Holy Spirit, right now. Here's some thirsty people. We want more of you, Lord. Where we're dry and thirsty, we pray, God, let us receive more of the promise of the Father. Well, this is your promise, Jesus. This isn't what we're making up by ourselves. We just want to be biblical. We want to do what you say because we want to know your power upon us. So come, Holy Spirit, like a wave after wave. Come right now, Holy Spirit, we ask. Oh, you who are one with the Father, one with the Son, would you come more right now upon thirsty lives in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, right now. Just keep drawing near. We come to Jesus and drink. Just drink. Draw actively near. Say, Jesus, I'm coming to you. Jesus, I'm coming to you. Coming to you. Come, give to me. Give me all you've got, Lord, for me this morning. Come make me thirsty again, not just today, but, Lord, whet my appetite for more, for weeks, for months, for years ahead. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, if you've responded on to my right, so those of you on the left-hand side of the room, what I'm going to encourage you to do is to get into little threes and pray for one another. Okay? Lay hands on each other and pray, really simply, come, Holy Spirit, more. Okay? If you're someone who's come onto this side, then wave at me. Becky and I, maybe Paul, will come pray for you. We've got about 5-10 minutes to go. Let's just meet with God. The children are doing this as well. Okay? So you can ask them later, did you receive? Okay, so let's, on this side, into threes, pray for one another.